Good morning and happy Sabbath to all of you. Comparing with yesterday, today it's a little bit milder weather. We don't need all this around us and we can concentrate to the reason why we are here, to see each other, but more important is to worship the Lord, Creator God, because He is worthy for adoration and praise. As Paul mentioned, I'm willing after, I know that most of the people are staying for lunch here, official and unofficial, lately, and I would like to show some photos from a recent trip to Africa, when my wife and myself we went, and we have very intense time for 2 weeks there, visiting Malawi, when our son and his wife are working there for a year, in Malamula Hospital. And also we tried to see a little bit more of Africa. We went to Zambia and we went to Victoria Falls to see the beauty of God's creations there. A lot of water, special now it's a rainy season, and the falls are full with water, and we all got wet. Just for those who are not, they got other duties this afternoon, they can't stay, to mention that Malamula Hospital, one of the oldest hospitals in that part of the world, it's opened 1902, almost 110 years ago, and it's very well known even today. When we drove towards Zambia, and also we went just across the border in Zimbabwe, whenever the police stop us, or we rented a car, our son was driving, they will ask, where are you going, who are you, or something like that. Always, he will say, we are working in Malamula Hospital. Oh, Malamula Hospital. Almost everyone is familiar with the Malamula Hospital. Our son said, many of them, maybe the children were taken to the hospital there, or maybe the wife gave birth there, or some cousin or father was sick, because it's a Western hospital, and not many in that time. And people were coming from, even from Mozambique, from other parts of Africa as well, bringing their sick. Even today, hospital is far from what was in the past, because many funds are withdrawn, and they are fighting for survival. Still, Malamula Hospital, it's known as the Seventh-day Adventist Hospital. And so many Adventist people live around, and in Africa, especially in Malawi as well. You can see everywhere churches, signs, Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we saw the needs of those kids and other people as well. And especially would like to mention that the funds for the children under 5 were withdrawn, and the people, the parents start stopping bringing their small kids to the hospital because they couldn't afford paying the bills. Even the bills are very small amount comparing, you know, in our standard, but it's too high for them because they're living mostly in ordinary villages. I'll show this in the pictures. Still living in those huts, how you call it, built with a mortar, huts, with a straw roof, and in very ordinary, on the ground, or done some handy stuff, put on the, like, you know, to lay, and it's not healthy, and a lot of moisture around, very primitive life, they're still ages, you know, behind the other. Even they said they are behind at least 20 years from Zambia. You know, from Zambia, which is a neighbor's country. When you go to Zambia, you will see much, much better life. You can see how people are dressed. You will see shops, but that's very ordinary. For that reason, yeah, we saw the needs. And now we start thinking differently. Especially my wife, she said, whenever I go to shop now, when I have to spend $30 for something more, I'm asking question, you know, do I need that? $30 will make big deal for those people there, for the hospital. And recently, you know, that we, especially in our district, we share some slides and a letter, and some people donate some money. We took about $3,500. We put them in American dollars. We took them there, and they advertise in the villages that there is some funds for the small kids under 5. And slowly, the villages people from this start bringing their small kids to the hospital, because there is a special form they can put the name, and 50% of the cost is subsidized by that money. And we would like that fund to grow, and also for the future years, the villages, you know, half of the money which they have to pay to be paid from the sponsors, because they don't have any government funds to the hospital, special for the kids under 5. I just want to say to those who are maybe leaving after lunch, keep in mind, if God can touch your hearts to put towards that, those funds, some money will be appreciated. We try as well in Melbourne to raise, to have later in April, I think, a dinner and concert as well for the Malamula Hospital. There is a certain individuals in we contacted in Melbourne. They are very keen to do their part, because we are living far, but they are doing to advertise things. We would like to raise some money towards the needs of that hospital, which is very, very well known to the community, but lately, I said, the standard becomes so low because the funds were withdrawn, and many other things as well were brought to the condition which it's now, the hospital there. Okay, I'll say a little bit more later, after the, when I'm going to show you some slides. This morning, before that, just to remind you that it's a camp meeting next weekend, conference, Victoria Camp, and Elmore. We all pastors, from Monday we will be there, putting the camp in order, or putting the tents there, and whatever is necessary. I mean, for 10 days we will be there, a whole week next, and a few days after that as well. Just, I would like to see some of you there. I'm in parking in security, and you can't get in unless I see you. No, you can get. There's many, many other ways there. You can think of. Okay, this morning I was thinking just to share one of the, I titled this, The Power of Our Words. Or, are words harmful or helpful? Have you thought recently about your words, how powerful can be? Have you thought about words that they, through your words you can impact the life of other people? Words are very powerful. There is a tremendous power in our words. You don't need to be a prime minister to know that people are listening to you every day. I would like to invite you to open Psalm 141. This is a special prayer, or part of the prayer which David prayed to the Lord, with a reason. Psalm 141, 3. David, he said in his prayer, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Have you prayed that kind of prayer recently in your prayer time? Sometimes maybe it's good to read the Bible and to be reminded that that can be included in our prayer petitions as well. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Why David has prayed that kind of prayer to the Lord? Maybe he had a need for that. It's obvious that he had a problem with his tongue. He couldn't control, like maybe Peter in the New Testament, you know? The lips are going, the tongue before the thoughts. He prayed, Lord, help me, put control above my tongue and guard over my lips, because I'm tempted to say things which are not supposed to be said. You know, our tongue is capable to do amazing things. The tongue has incredible power. Do you know that you carry a little weapon with you wherever you go? And it wouldn't be impossible for anyone to make you check it at the door because it's attached to your body. The tongue has incredible power to hurt or to heal. Our tongue has ability to lift you up and also to put you down. This little piece of muscle that lies in your mouth behind your lips and teeth can make your life happy or make your life miserable. Make you smiling or make you sick. In our Yugoslav language there is a special saying. May I say in the Yugoslav? Jezik kosti nema, kosti lomi. It's another says, the tongue doesn't have a bones, but it's capable of crushing the bones of others. Doesn't have a bones. It's just a muscle. But sometimes can crush your bones, can destroy mentally, physically, emotionally certain person. Maybe some of you experienced that, you know? You can't get off the certain things, what you heard on the phone from somebody for a week. Even as a pastor sometimes, even I learned many things in my pastor life, but still sometimes I struggle to overcome certain what I heard from somebody. It's affecting me. I try not, but I can't. I need time to overcome that. Need a lot of prayer, a lot of discipline, a lot of trust, a lot of positive to clear that air which that word which I heard brought all these dark clouds around me. I don't know, maybe you're a better person, maybe you have a way how you're dealing this, but I know that sometimes we all struggle with the situations. You know, that tongue. One of the precious gifts given by God to the human is a gift of tongue. Only human being has ability to talk. We had only two occasions in the Bible when the animal has spoken. Do you know those two occasions? The first one, serpent in the Garden of Eden. The second one, the donkey, when Balaam was tripping and bashing the donkey, and suddenly God opened the mouth and said, come on Balaam, what I've done so wrong? I've been faithful to you for years and now, you know? He was not able to see that the God's angel, the cherubim, was staying in front. Only two occasions, but in all other occasions in the Bible, the humans are those talking, speaking. God created us with the ability to talk, to communicate. But unfortunately, when the first parents fall in the sin, the tongue become less and less positive and become more and more negative, which was not God's intention at all. You know, that ability to be able to talk is an advantage, but also a big responsibility. Because every our word which comes out from our lips has some influence upon other people, for good or for bad. You can make difference in people's life. You can lift them up, you can give them a courage, you can clean the air, you can make them to grow with your words, but you can put them down, you can destroy not just the person and many other things. You can destroy his career, you can destroy your reputation, you can destroy the family and kids and everything if we are not careful how we use the ability of words. The power of words are enormous. Maybe you're still remembering the things in your childhood, maybe your grandfather or maybe your grandmother, maybe especially your parents, maybe if they're not careful, maybe they were calling names on you, or when you make mistake, I knew that you are not capable of doing of this. You know? Many children are growing in the families and they're bombarded with the negative words every day from their family members. And they can't grow, they can't later on they fail because I knew that I'm not able of to do anything. I knew, you know, that it's still ringing in your memory, in your mind. This is a negative. It is not good. Not it's not positive. Let's open Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. When Jesus is talking, how careful we have to be with our words. Matthew chapter 12. Thirty-six and thirty-seven. You're familiar with those words, just to remind you. 12, 36, 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. When the Bible speaks about judgment and condemnation, oh, Jesus very often says, I'm not going to condemn you, I'm not going to judge you. Your actions, your words will decide where you go. Yes, it's scary. It's scary though. You know that other people are making decisions, you can criticize, you can blame, you have excuse to blame somebody, but if it's focused on me, on my actions, on my word, then who to blame? Myself. It's not always easy to blame yourself. But Jesus says that we will give account for every word, idle word or good word. By your words you will be justified or will be condemned. That means the words are more than just simple words of communication. They have a weight. They can impact. And we are responsible for the gift of tongue, gift of speaking, not foreign languages, but which can understand. We are responsible for that gift. God is taking account of every spoken word by our lips, of every careless word spoken by us. You know, James speaks a lot of so much about the tongues. In James chapter 3, I can't go not quoting James because the whole chapter speaks about it. I'm just choosing a couple words. Book of James chapter 3, 7 and 8. If you have a time afternoon, read the whole chapter and you will see more what James speaks, what he says about the tongues, the words, the impact. James chapter 3, 7 and 8 says, for every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is untruly evil, full of deadly poison. Wow! What a description of your tongue and my tongue. Deadly poison inside. When we went to Africa, we went to the park. We saw the animals there. We saw the giraffes, I'll show them afternoon, zebras, lions, all kind of creatures there, you know. And doesn't matter how dangerous they are, the people are capable of taming them. But the people, they can't tame their own words, a tongue, according to James. If the Bible says what she says is true, we can't argue with the scripture. If the scripture says that about our tongue, your tongue and my tongue, we have to surrender our thoughts and ourselves. Yes, Lord, help me to do something. Have you lately thought about your tongue as the evil one? No way. How come? I'm always good. My words are okay because I know I got good motives. I know what I'm saying, but it's not good enough. Your motives are not good enough. The words. You know, when we say something, which the word comes out of our mouth, we are not anymore under control of that word. Doesn't belong anymore to us. We have no control. People have a freedom to interpret the way how they would like. Until that word is in your thought, in your mind, you are into control of the word. But when it's coming out, then you are losing control. And other people become owners of your word. Sometimes they can interpret in the way you never thought, but it's happening, unfortunately. For that reason, we have to be very careful what we are saying, how we are saying, because the timing is important as well. The way how we say things is very important. The color of your voice is important as well. Not just what we are saying. It's applied when we witness to the people, apply when we teach our children, it apply when we communicate it as members as well. The way how we say make big difference. Only God is capable to tame our world, a wild tongue, if we allow Him. Only God can make our words, our tongue, to be sanctified or to be changed, to put our tongue under control. If we try ourselves, we'll lose that battle, unfortunately. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:12. 1 Timothy 4:12. Paul is, Timothy was his assistant, young pastor, and Paul was always trying to preach to others, but also to encourage this young fellow to keep to be careful about certain things. And in 1 Timothy 4:12, he, amongst other instructions, he says, Paul says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in what? In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in word." We can interpret this both ways, in preaching the God's word and also and how you're communicating. Be careful, be good example of what you're saying. Because your words have a weight. And doesn't matter how much, better not to say than later apologize and many other things which are there, but will never sometimes repair the damage which is done. Doesn't matter how many letters you can write of apology. Sometimes, very often we can see in the government when some people are very casual on the radio stations and saying things, all of a sudden the whole society reacting about things, and he said, "Here, apology," his letter. But, apology, half of the people, they haven't apology. That's happening. For that, it's better not to harm than to go and ask for forgiveness, which is fair enough, but it's better to control in the first place. Be example in speech. Other translation says, be example for the believers in speech. That there is a, I find contradictory sometimes information, but says one psychologist says that women are speaking more words during the day than men. And sometimes, I don't know, it depends on the personality, but whoever is there, we have to be all careful. Some says that between 2,000 and 4,000 words a man speak during the day, but women between 6,000 to 8,000 words. Some of them may be less, some men are very talkative as well, but whoever, doesn't matter which category we belong, we have to be careful. You don't need to say a lot of words to make mistakes. Sometimes you can make mistakes in another way, but the Bible says you can't be you can't say so many words and not saying something which is not appropriate. I think the Bible says as well. Somebody says the bird is known by its song, the man by his speech, by his words. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. Proverbs 13:3. He who guards his lips guards his life. But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. You know, sometimes our words can get us into the trouble. For that reason, choose wisely. Choose wisely. And lips will guard your life. You will be protected. You'll have a better friendship. You don't need to apologize too much. You know, you'll be accepted. You'll have a better life and longer life and happier life, the Bible says, you know. Guard your life. And chapter 10, verse 19, as well, Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds tongue is wise. Okay, it's a wisdom of Solomon. I don't know where he learned that wisdom, maybe late in his days in his life or earlier, we don't know, but he learned through the life, and he is recommending to us to be careful from his experience. 18:21, same book. 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life in the power of the tongue. It's a great responsibility. It's a great responsibility. For the parents, not easy. The children are listening. Whole bodies are ears. You know, they are not just two ears. The whole body is ears. Eyes, everything is here. Because they are like sponge. They are sucking everything, you know, and every word. For that reason, sometimes they can get upset with the things, or maybe the neighbor, or with other, or with the pastor, or with the elder, who are, they are listening. Our words have impact of them. We have to be, it's a great responsibility for the parents to keep always the right words on the right time. Also, in our neighborhood, in the workplace as well, we are responsible what we are saying, what kind of saying we are saying, what kind of jokes if we are humorous person are saying as well, because, you know, people will laugh, but who knows what they are thinking through those words. We have to be very careful. We are Christ's ambassadors. Ambassadors to the world, and impact to the people, and also there is a heaven, angels who is taking account of every word as well. You know, when we're talking about the power of words, I can't just ignore and not saying few words about the sin of gossiping, because this is a part. How can without words we are passing information? So I'm not going to talk too long about that, but I would like just to mention that we are passing information, sometimes true information, sometimes false information, sometimes mixed, some true, some, you know, sometimes some people are very skillful to put a little bit season of the message to make more acceptable, interesting for others. If they pass the same information, it's not nothing, it's not big deal. But they're putting a little bit extra thing, seasoning, I would say, few other projection, imaginations and doubts of, to make this, to wrap as a package and to be acceptable, wow, you know, and to be interesting. And for that reason, it's very important to know that gossip is a part of our communication, which is bad communication. It's not good. Our speech have to be used in pleasing God and encouraging each other, but very often we are using the gift for bad purpose, that's a gossiping. Because of gossip, many homes have been splintered, reputation shattered, and lives literally destroyed, and even ended. Gossip is the great destroyer of the church as well. Thousands of people, good people, left the church because of the gossiping. They couldn't tolerate any more things. And they didn't leave the church because of the error of the doctrine, no. More and more people are fined because they can't tolerate anymore the gossip. They knew that we got Sabbath, we got other things, but they can't anymore tolerate the gossip about them, about their personal life, about the life of their children, about the life of their wives, and everything, what they're doing or not doing. And why doing, why not doing. You know, do you know that the gossip is a sin? Let's open book of Romans chapter 1. I just want to see it. It's a, the Bible is very, very important. Open to that. Romans chapter 1, 29 to 32. There is a list of negative behavior which the Bible condemned. And you will find one of the sins here which it's belong to the group of gossiping. Romans 1, 29 to 32. Being filled with the unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. There are whispers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only to the same, but also approved to those who practice them. This whole list of bad things which Bible condemned, and in the end of the 29 and beginning of 30, we read, it's they included their whispers. Do you know who are those whispers? Those are gossipers. Coming like that, I'll whisper. Nobody knows, only to you. Do you know what's new in our church? No. Do you know our deacon, what he's doing? And you know, nobody knows. That's whispering. Passing quiet information like in trust manner. Nobody like knows. The Bible says, slanders, backbiters, who just want to destroy from the behind. They are not having capacity to come and to talk face to face. They are wanting behind. And usually what's happened, the person who's supposed to know first, last. And that's what it's making you, you don't know what to do. You're supposed to know first, but you know the last. I still remember when I was in Bosnia, there was one of the churches, there was a problem in one marriage, and the husband didn't know his wife was doing certain things which was not good. She was seen with other men. And almost half of the church members knew, and nobody came to him. I don't know what kind of husband. He didn't know for months that what his wife was doing. I don't know. Was too busy with other things in his life or something like that. But and I was sitting in the church board as a pastor. And he was crying. He said, why nobody tell me anything? You know, some people say it's not our business to tell you. Your husband, you're supposed to know what your wife is doing. In one way, maybe they are right. In another, he find out where was, he couldn't save his marriage. It was too far. Sometimes, you know, the person who's supposed to know, instead to put aside and to talk, you know, brother, how your marriage is going or something like that, or pray before, let's show that you care for him and love him. And but sometimes certain individuals, they find out the less, and the whole church was knowing about that. You know, that's one of the bad things sometimes can it's happening, which it's not supposed to be. You know, the tribe of Dan was not included in the list of the 144,000 in Revelation 7. Do you know that? If you go study that chapter at home, you will see the tribe of Dan was not included. Do you know why? If you go to Genesis 49:17, okay, I don't have to preach about the gospel whole sermon, but just I can 49:17, Genesis. Forty-nine, seventeen. What was guilty the tribe of Dan? Dan shall be a serpent by the way, the prophecy says, and viper by the path that bites the horse's heels, so that its rider shall fall backward. What the Bible says about Dan and the tribe of Dan? Unfortunately, there will be backbiters. They will attack their own people from the backside. If you go to the prophets, I don't have a time now to go, Nahum and other, you will see what they were doing when the people of Israel were going on the war with the enemies. They will united themselves with the enemy of the God's people, and they will attack the innocent, the small kids, or the ladies, or the sick people behind. You know, they were attacking and destroying their own people. For that reason, God hasn't included the tribe of Dan in the 144,000 chapter 7 Revelation. You know, this is not just ordinary sin. It's sin which destroys the person. Then will be a serpent by the roadside. The serpent never touch front. It's when you less expect. The serpent, it's very unusual animal which by gossiping, people's reputation and good name are destroyed. If you lose your name and reputation, what is left? When we undermine our friend's reputation by spreading lies or half-truth, we are destroying man's most valuable possession, his integrity and decency. In Proverbs 22:1, the Bible says, "A great name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." For that reason, we have to be very careful when we have to say about other people what we are saying.
Could you read the verse 2?
Yes, brother.
Read the verse 2 also.
Yes, okay. Proverbs 22:2.
21:2.
Just to see. 21:2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his heart. Yes, totally true. That's right. Yes, apply to everyone. Apply to everyone. For that reason, the Bible applies to everyone. There is no somebody who exempt from the scripture. Apply to the same one. That's right. Great name is desirable than great riches. For that reason, by our words, we can, if we are not careful, we can destroy reputation and good name of the people. For that reason, we have to be very careful. You know, I would like now, when we're talking about that, say something which the spirit of prophecy says. And to the parents as well. I am a parent, and we try to live according to that statement as much as, because we knew that this is important, you know. Sometimes we're tempted to say something around our table at home, in the front of our kids. I said there are ears everywhere, not just to hear. Everywhere here, they'll expunge. Sometimes what we think about the church or certain individuals, even the names, they are remembering, they're putting in their minds there. We have to be very careful what we are saying. We are sowing the seeds, trust or distrust. They are growing, they are seeing individuals of the church through the eyes, how you present them. And one day you have to invite them to make a commitment to accept Jesus Christ, to be baptized. And they say, "Oh, can I join the church? Look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this," you know. Be careful what kind of seeds you are planting there. Be careful what you are saying, what kind of information you are passing at home in front of your kids. Ellen White says in Adventist Home, page 440, "How many families season their daily meals with doubt and questionings? They dissect the characters of dear friends and serve them up as a daily dessert. A precious bit of slander is passed around the board to be commented upon, not only by adults, but by children. In this, God is dishonored. In the home, the spirit of criticism and false fighting should have no place. The peace of the home is too sacred to be marred by this spirit. But now often, when seated at the meal table, the members of the family pass around a dish of criticism, fault findings, and scandal. How many times when we are coming from the church for the Sabbath lunch, we are putting the names of the church members. Have you seen the lady with the bed dress? Wow, disgusting. This is not church dress for the Sabbath. Have you seen the brother like that? Have you seen this? We are gossiping each other and in front of the family. Eating together with the salad, many other things. This is not the way. Maybe we can be all guilty of that. When we come, we have to sit and maybe we can say, hey, do you remember what was said? How we can improve things? Are we talking about the message was presented? Or we are talking about what we heard from each other, private things? Who was dressed what? How he came? What kind of hairstyle? Or many other things which maybe some people need correction, but it's not place and time when we can discuss this issue. And the Bible says, go and visit that person if you can. Talk with that person if you need correction, if you think it's needed, but it's not to be debated outside of that person. And Ellen White says, criticism, false findings, and scandal. It's not good. She said, gossip and tale-bearing. We think with horror of the cannibal who feasts on the still warm and trembling flesh of the victim, but are the results of even this practice more terrible than are the agony of the ruin caused by mispresenting motive, blackening reputation, dissecting character? The spirit of gossip and tale-bearing is one of Satan's special agencies to sow discord and strife, to separate friends and to undermine the faith of many in the truthfulness of our position. Adventist Home 441. A certain pastor was having trouble with the gossip in the church. Every time one lady from the church should see his car parked anywhere strange, she began immediately to spread the word that their pastor was having an affair. He didn't know what to do. There was no truth to her rumors, but she kept up until the pastor, in an effort to stop her mouth, has left his car parked in front of her house day and night for a week. That cured the problem. Sometimes, you know, we can have all kind of assumptions. You know, I've been pastor for 34 years. Sometimes you can hear all kind of things, you know. Some people have a big, huge imagination. They can create things like it's true. It seems like true. When you go step by foot closer, you can see nothing of the truth, but in their mind, they got so many proof, and it's not easy sometimes, you know, to live by that. Maybe heard the story about another lady in one of the churches. She was known as a lady who was as a gossiper, but one day she was listening to the sermon and she came to conclusion that what she was doing was bad. She went to the pastor during the week and said, "Pastor, I find myself guilty of that. What I can do to make things better, even? Or how I can do? Can I go and ask for forgiveness? Can you give me during the business meeting to ask people for forgiveness, whatever?" Pastor said, "Okay, I've got an idea. Take a bag and fill it with the feathers from the birds, you know, feathers of the light one, and bring." And she collects some feathers. I believe she was living somewhere in the country or the village when she had that kind of stuff, and she put in the bag, and pastor said, "Go now and find the highest roof in the village and wait for the windy day and throw open the bag and throw all the feathers around from the roof." "Okay, if it's this way how to be forgiven," she said, "I'm going to do that." And she went and she came back and said, "Pastor, you can see my bag is empty. I throw all the feathers around." I said, "Okay, good. Now go and pick up all of them again and put in your bag." "Wow," I said, "it's not possible." Says, "Dear my sister, You can apologize 1,000 times now, but you can't pick up every single feather what you threw with your mouth. You know, it's better to think in advance. Sometimes certain feathers we can find and we can apologize. It's a Christian duty to apologize. You know, if the Spirit is telling you that you offended, but your word, something, you maybe share half truth, 75% truth, or maybe even 100% truth, but it's not to be passed around, you can apologize. But there is a feathers, maybe we can't find them anymore. They're gone. Maybe people passed away. You can't bring the people, you can't go to the gravesite and apologize. For that reason, it's good to think that our words is affecting people around. Just to finish with a couple more words, I know that was longer than I thought. Let's James 4:11-12. He says, "Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. There are one lawgiver and judge." James says, be careful, okay? Colossians 4:6. "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with" what? With salt. Seasoned with salt. That means to be positive, to be something which can build character, can encourage, can motivate. That kind of words. Say something good to each other, you know. Notice something good. Don't wait somebody to come later to approach him that he came later. Approach him when he comes on time. Said, "Brother, amazing, you're coming on time. That's excellent," you know. We are usually negative people, and it's easy to say when it's a negative, but we are forgetting the positive things to say to each other, to build confidence and encouragement, to motivate each other. Ephesians 4:29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others, that may benefit those who listen." The words has an enormous power. Our Heavenly Father, Creator God, He created the whole world by the power of His words. And God gave a part of His creating power to you and me through the word to create something beautiful, to encourage each other, to motivate each other, to affirm each other. May God help us to use the gift of tongue in a more positive way. If you think you're okay, may God bless you. If you find something in certain areas maybe then we are lacking, may God help us. May He forgive us, to forgive each other as well. And also may He encourage us with His Holy Spirit to be more positive in our talk and through our words. May many people to be motivated and brought close relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, our Creator God, we would like to say thank you, Lord, for this wonderful Sabbath day, Lord, which you set aside for us in order to come closer to you, to pause from our daily duties and also to be focused more on you, on your glory, to be focused on what you are preparing for us as well. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us this morning about the gift of speech which you gave to us as a human beings, Lord, in order to communicate, in order to say how we love you, and also to use for your glory, and Lord, because you're worthy of praise and glory. Lord, also, we find ourselves that sometimes we are guilty of misusing that gift, Lord. Maybe we brought sometimes pain and we harm some people in their lives, Lord, maybe not using in appropriate way that gift. We ask you, Lord, for forgiveness, and may your Holy Spirit remind us how important is that gift to be used in the proper way, Lord. May we use more in a positive way for encouragement, uplifting each other, affirming each other, and also may be used in spreading the gospel in order many people come to the knowledge before the time ended, Lord. Once more, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Thank you for guiding us in our life, and we want to continue to walk with you, and very soon to enter to the gate of heaven, into the eternal life. That's our desire, Lord, and we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.